You are now immersed in the Superfans Soccer Cast with your hosts, Maddie Savage and Mike Apex. It's about to get lit.
Welcome in, super fans. This is one of your hosts, Maddie Savage. I am right here with Mike Apex. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing super fantastical, my bro. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. We got a loaded episode, so let's kick this thing off. We're going to kick it off going head first, diving head first. Like a ball going into the box. We're going to get it out of there. We have MLS news and our National Women's Soccer League news. We're going to get into that later on. Let's get into our main topics today, right? We have loads of transfer news. Transfers that have been going like crazy. Teams have been getting players. Teams have been sending players out. And we also have the NWSL's Rivalry Week, which we'll get into that as well. So, but first, transfer news. MLS, transfer news. There was a lot of teams buying and selling and moving players left and right. And some big names are part of our list. One of them is one of your favorite players, Mike, Mr. Heung-min Son from Tottenham.
Yes, indeed. And thanks, Maddie. What a wonderful, warm welcome they gave him, right? His first game coming in to L.A. And I just want to shout him out because it was kind of bittersweet seeing him leave Tottenham Hotspur. Is definitely, you know, one of our captains, pretty much the face, in my opinion, the face of the team, right? And, you know, seeing this guy come over here with LAFC, man, he's been getting number love. Like, I think the mayor and everybody, I thought they were going to give him the key to the city.
Yeah, he was you're right. I mean, he's there for 10 years, and he was one of the faces of the franchise. And, I mean, did everything the right way. He was just a constant professional. LAFC picked up a good one with him. I mean, he's now the most expensive transfer in MLS history. Well, $26.5 million, I think, with the last the numbers. So it's a fair sum of money, but I think that the LAFC ownership group that and also the general manager, the whole shebang, I think they looked at this and said it's a lot of money, but he's an international superstar. Let's just call him what he is. He's 32 years old. It's not like he's like very old, way over the top. You're still going to get, you know, very good production out of him. And L.A. has a massive South Korean and Korean-American who will be supporting and buying his kit. I was talking to my brother. His kit, Son's kit, will be number one next year in sales. That's almost a guarantee. I'm going to say he's going to outdo Messi next year because almost everybody has the Messi jerseys that are already selling right now. If he's not one, he will definitely be two. That's like almost a guarantee. You can put your Savage approval on that right there. It's going to be in the top two, if not the number one jersey next year. I mean, it's a big deal. Good job on LAFC getting their guy. But they didn't just finish there, Mike. They didn't finish there. They also went out and got Ryan Porteous, the defender from Watford, and to finish things out. So they're still moving and shaking, and the transfer window is still open for another couple of days. So
just to add on, Maddie, you got to respect these guys, right? Got to respect LAFC. They're sitting pretty much what are they like in fifth or sixth in the West. Pretty, I think I gave these guys a D, if I'm not mistaken, when we spoke about them. And to my surprise and to my delight, super fans, LAFC super fans, they responded. like you said, going out, getting these guys, and Porteous, say his name correctly, he's definitely going to bolster these guys defensively, right? We know that our guy, Boenga, he's been doing his thing out there. The team is talented, of course, but with Son and Porteous, those are two big additions, and I wouldn't be surprised if LAFC goes out and try to get someone else, because they're going for the gusto right now, and I got to respect it, you know?
Yeah, and they needed to bolster their defense because I want to say it was Hollingshead was the player that got the ACL tear and is going to be out. Or no,
yeah,
was it? No, not the ACL. Is Achilles? Excuse me, his Achilles. So yeah, and this is like the second time that he's had this happen. So yeah, out and getting and bolstering the defense was good for them. So that's for LAFC. We got some other, we have a lot more to talk about, so we're going to move along. Matt Turner, the U.S. men's national team, starting goalkeeper as it stands, made the move back to MLS from the Premier League. He's coming from Crystal Palace to the New England Revolution, or should I say back to the New England Revolution after some time. We talked about that one before. I don't know. I didn't see the reason why, but hey, I mean, shout out to him. He can come back to the MLS, get in his groove and do whatever, but I just didn't see it from a New England Revolution perspective. I mean, they have a decent goalkeeper already, and I mean, his contract ends at the end of this season, but I don't know. What do you think, Mike? Is it a good move or kind of end?
Well, yeah, you made a two points, Matty. Yeah, he did. Matt did a great job playing for the U.S. men's national team. You know, I think he had a pretty impressive showing, right? And I think the fact that he was playing over here, teams got a chance to see him and up close. And I kind of think that raised his, you know, valuability, if I want to make that a word, right? Because maybe, you know, New England was looking at it like, wow, you know, this kid is really nice. We could add him on. And you just said that the keeper they have now, he has an expiring contract, right? Mm-hmm. And you bring this young kid over. Hey, you know, they always say the saying is cheaper to keeper, but if you can get a, you know, I don't know, bring this kid in there. He definitely could help you as far as like, you know, and maybe they're not satisfied. I don't know. You know, there's no telling, but I think it could be a financial move. And also, he had a really good showing and, you know, they appreciated his talent. So they brought him back again to the MLS, right?
Yeah. And from what I can tell, he was with the New England Revolution from before. So they knew kind of what they were getting as far as the player. And I don't know. It's weird. It's almost like a yo-yo situation where it's just like you let him go and you spring him right back. You know, it's just like let the dude do his deal. And like I said, maybe it could be the financial bit, the fact that you have a expiring contract for your keeper. But my motto, anytime I'm, you know, I know you probably like me, you play 2K or you play FIFA, you play these other games, right? Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm a head, you know, guy, if my guy's doing good, I reward him with a, you know, with extension on his contract or whatever. And for me, if my main starting keeper is doing well, or you know, whatever the case may be, I'm gonna reward him. Your contract is expiring, but you're doing well, so I'm gonna reward you. I want you to keep you here. These teams don't have any loyalty, or they have loyalty to these guys that are, you know, he's left and coming back. So I wish Matt Turner the best, but for the New England Revolution, I think this is going to cause more of a stir than it needs to be, because you already got a coaching situation where the coach is on the hot seat, and now you bring in a keeper and create keeper controversy. It's just like, how much more of a cluster, you know, do you need?
Yeah, you're right, Matty. And is this going to be deja vu or deja new, right? Mm-hmm. He's coming back to New England. Looking at the standings, they are in 11th right now. They're right behind my Red Bulls right now, sitting there. So, yeah, I think, you know, is this a move that they, like you said, Matty, is this a move that they definitely needed to make? who knows? But it's going to cause some controversy. It's definitely going to put a battery in the keeper that's right now holding it down. He's going to, you know, have to continue to do his job. But, yeah, I don't know. It's to be continued on that.
Yes, very much so. Let's move on to our next one. We have Rowan Cruz heading to RSL. We talked about that the last episode where we mentioned that they went out and got a striker from Botafogo in Brazil. Well, his name is Rowan Cruz, and he's ready to go. Spent $5 million. Well, again, I said it again. He's on loan, and he has a purchase option for $5 million. But I can say that if he does what RSL needs him to do and anticipates him doing, that they'll more than likely pick his purchase option up, and he's going to be with them for the foreseeable future. So that was a good move by RSL because they have not been where they need to be offensively. And we talked about it in our last episode about the grading and for the Western Conference. And we mentioned, I told you, I said, it's not that they're not trying. They went out and they got Johnny Russell. They went out and got Willy Agata. They went out and got Forster Ajago before the season. So it's like they're trying. And they tried older players in Willy Agata and in Johnny Russell, and it didn't quite pan out. And so now they went and spent real big money to get a DP designated player from Botafogo, and they're really hoping that they can hit a home run with this guy.
Yeah, Matty. I think they definitely fill the void, right? They fill the need. Like you said, we spoke about this, and we graded those guys accordingly, right? This is a young – hey, it's a young player. He's very talented, coming in from Brazil. What is he, like 20 – what is he, like 23, 24, I think he is. Yeah, he can't do anything but help these guys, in my opinion, add some life into the team. And funny enough, I think my Red Bulls are actually playing those guys here this weekend. So, yeah, definitely we're going to be checking out and see what he does against us. Hopefully not much. Sorry, Ramon.
Well, it remains to be seen if he can get his visa situated and everything else. That's been a problem with some of the players. That was with Son. That was they didn't know if he was going to be able to play, and he actually did yesterday. Because of the, you know, these things, you just never know. They might take 2 weeks. They might take 2 days. It depends on how organized you are and if you can get your approvals and everything else. And so if he gets everything approved and looking good, then, yeah, you might be able to see him firsthand and come back and report on how well he did, if they hit a home run or if they hit just a single or a bunt.
Good baseball analogy.
All right. Well, we're almost through with our international moves in because we have some international moves and some interleague moves. Yes. We have the Crew went out and they got, make sure I'm saying his name right, Wassam Abu Ali from Al Ahly. And that was a team, Mike, if you remember, was in the Club World Cup and played Inter Miami very tough. That was like the, I think the first game that they played was versus Al Ahly, and it was a very, very close, tightly contested match, very good. And he was one of the players on there. The Crew saw the potential even before the Club World Cup for this player, and seeing him in the Club World Cup made just kind of, you know, they were dead set on it. They're saying, this is our guy. We need to go out and get him, bringing him in to help bolster the offense. So that's a good bit of business for the Columbus Crew.
Yes, the Columbus world-class wrecking crew. That's what I'm going to call them right now because we know these guys. We don't have to talk about them, the MLS, you know, cup championships and whatnot that they have. Rich history of winning, right? For them to go out and make this move for this young guy is impressive, right? I didn't see it coming. I love it when these teams go out of their way and try to bring in players to make their team better, right? That as a super fan, that's what we want, right? Constantly in the pursuit of trying to win MLS Cup and win championships. And this young fella here, as you mentioned, Matty, I think he's going to come in and be a, you know, add water, stir, and you know, sip, you know what I'm saying? Just drink it down, because he's going to definitely add a good flavor to this already good squad or whatever.
But to round out our international stars, and I didn't do this on purpose, Whitecaps, I promise you guys. I just, you know, I wanted to give you guys the proper and give him the proper respect of coming to the MLS. But Thomas Müller, the Bayern Munich great, had left from Germany and Bayern Munich, and it was believed that he was going to join maybe FC Cincinnati. There were some rumors that he may join there. But he finishes with a signing of the Whitecaps, and that's going to be a good move by them to get a veteran who has vast experience. I mean, played for the German national team, played for Bayern Munich all these years, and a team that's already poised to make the playoffs. I mean, unless they just have a complete fallout, which I don't see happening. They're going to make the playoffs, and to get a guy of his caliber with his experience is only going to bode well for them.
Yes, indeed. I mean, these guys just picked up a legend. Like, we've been pretty much ballyhooing the Vancouver Whitecaps, White Hot Caps, all year, because they've been at the top of the league in the West all year. And for them to do this, Matty, this is crazy. This is, you know, this is crazy, man. I got to give it to them. These guys are going for the gusto again. They're trying to win it all, and bringing him in, he's going to fit seamlessly, in my opinion. Attacking midfielder. I mean, the experience, world-class experience he has, just the leadership he has, and just the skill set he's going to bring there, already on a great team. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, it's almost like it's unfair, right?
Yeah, and talking about, I said that, you know, Cincinnati was rumored and now he's going to the Whitecaps. I think that some of these players, where they're coming from previously, I think that has an effect. Because if you think about it, he's used to playing in Germany, and it's cold in Germany. A lot of the season is cold. And in the Pacific Northwest, think about it. And you've lived there, Mike, so you know. Yes. You've also, you know, being a veteran, you've probably been all around. You can probably say this better than anybody. What's close to the Pacific Northwest? It's probably Germany, right?
You're talking about the climate? Yeah, I would say, because I know Seattle's temperature is similar to, like, London with the rainy. Vancouver's right up north from it. It's similar, yeah, in Germany, yeah. I could say maybe similar climate. Yes, I see where you're going with. Yeah,
and I think that that's probably what played a role in you know, because you got, what, Cincinnati or the Whitecaps, and you got to look at it and say, what am I used to for all these years? I've been here playing, and I got to, you know, this is what I'm used to, and I think that plays a role. I could be, you know, grasping at straws here, but, hey, money talks is that I do know, but I think that the extra, the extracurriculars, the externals, they make a big difference. So we have a transfer that was borderline international, but also MLS, because we try to separate him from our international and our MLS, and this one is kind of a both. Milan Iloski, previously from the San Diego FC, now with the Philadelphia Union. And I say that because it's a very intricate situation, Mike, and our listeners will probably be dying to know. So, Lewandowski was loaned to San Diego FC, and in about 900 minutes played, he had like 9 goals. And he was a goal-scoring machine in that short period of time. And San Diego was trying to work a deal to make the loan permanent, to get him on, and they haggled back and forth. They couldn't agree to a deal. His loan expired. He goes back to his original team, FC Nordholland. Well, the Union smelled blood in the water, and they went out and they reached out to FC North Holland, and they officially signed Mr. Milan Ilovski. And so he's going back to the MLS, but he's going to the Eastern Conference instead of the Western Conference. And he's now officially with the Philadelphia Union. So, you know, hey, take advantage of what your fellow squads and teams kind of, you know, fumble the ball on, I guess.
Wow, this is great move again by the Philadelphia Union, scooping this guy up. Just super, super duper uber talented, right? And I think the only reason why, if San Diego wasn't so good already, they wouldn't have probably let this kid go, right? In my opinion, right? And for this guy to come back over to the MLS and the Philadelphia Union, and like you said, this guy is a dynamic player. You know, he's a threat to score every time he touches the ball, right? It's going to be very interesting because Philadelphia is, they're serious business, man. I look at these teams right now making these moves. They're making power moves, Maddie. They're going for the win. They're not playing around. Like you said, going ahead and scooping them up. Things under contract until, what, 27, 28, if I'm not mistaken. So they're going to have them there for a couple years, hopefully. Man, Philadelphia Union, super fans, get ready. Because here they come.
I think that this is also a instance of, we always talk about, you know, the players on the field, they're versus each other, but let's not be mistaken. The guys upstairs in the front offices, they're competing with each other too. And this is just one of those instances where it's in the background, but you can kind of see it playing out where if I can get a guy and I can improve my roster and I can thumb you in the eye at the same time, I'm going to do it. Because I'm a competitor.
I agree. I don't blame them, right? Rubbing nose all in it, right?
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, hey, I can improve my roster and I can get at you and I can, you know, thumb my nose at you or, you know, put my finger in your eye or do what I got to do, you know, Ric Flair style, rake your eye, you know, get you good. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Not so nature boy. Is Lucio Acosta. He has moved. He has moved to the Brazilian side Fluminense for a total of $4 million plus add-ons. And man, this one here is sad. It is extremely sad.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Shout out to Luciano, right? Acosta. Yeah, Maddie, I think, man, I feel bad for this guy because, you know, when he was at Cincinnati FC, I mean, this guy is spectacular. We already know this. This guy is so talented. And I know he didn't want to leave there, and he ended up going down to Dallas to the you know, the Big D. And I'm going to be honest, Maddie, it just did not work out. You mentioned the front office. And I don't think these guys had a clear vision of what they wanted to do. Some of these, I hate to say it, but I got to call them out. I think some of these front offices, you know, they never get the blame. Well, it's always usually the players or the coaches. Coaches are first always on the chopping block, right? But they didn't, I don't think they put the proper team around this guy. I mean, because this guy, like you say, he's scoring goals like crazy. I mean, just... man, I love watching him play and to see him go down to Brazil, shout out to Brazil, and leave the MLS, it definitely hurts. But I think I'm happy for him because I think at the end of the day, he wasn't satisfied with, you know, the way Dallas FC was progressing or stagnating, if you want to call it. So, but yeah, what say you, Manny?
I told you. Before we got to recording, because we always, you know, kind of go over what we're going to be talking about. And I told you, I said, this seems like you buy a car, right? You buy a used car. You have it for 6 months. You pay $20,000 for it. And then you turn around in 6 months and you sell it for like $8,000, $10,000, you know, as much as you can get with it. But you just want it gone, you know? I mean, they bought Lucio Acosta from FC Dallas for $5 million, which I thought was a steal when they did it. And they're turning around, selling him for $4 million. So they're automatically, in 6 to 8 months of having him on the team, are taking a million-dollar loss off the top, just off the top, just to say, here you go, get gone. Because he hasn't played up to the form they need him to play at. He's had some off-the-field stuff going on where he's missing curfew and being suspended in-house in team, not being on the bench or on the squad and everything else. That was an issue they had. So, yeah, it's sad to see, because he not that long ago was the MVP of the entire league. And I think Dallas saw value in the, like, hey, $5 million for this guy, if we can just, you know, they have their own star they're trying to placate. We'll get into that in a second. But, yeah, this is – it was a risk, and like that used car analogy, they just went out of it, and they're just saying, hey, we'll be underwater on this contract. Just get him out of here. Best of luck to you.
Do you think there was, I don't know, some type of, what's the word I want to say? Was there something going on behind the scenes? Do you think he was acting out of pocket to kind of force their hand to get rid of him? I mean, because this guy's been nothing but spectacular. You know, I spoke highly of him, you know, when he was, you know, last season at, you know, FC Cincinnati and all of that. But what do you think? Because this wasn't like him, Maddie. He coming in here and, like you said, all of this stuff he was doing, it was, man.
I honestly think that he didn't want to be in the MLS anymore, period. He told Cincinnati that. He wanted to go back to Argentina, and that's been his biggest driving factor. He's been saying he wants to go to be with his kids more, and because they're in Argentina, where she's from. And so Brazil will be closer than United States. So that's been his motivating factor. So he wanted to move to Argentina. That was his first pick. And so he went with Brazil second. And I think that Dallas just took a risk. They did. I mean, we get this guy that he just wasn't motivated, and unfortunately, the we've seen the highs and the lows of Lucho Acosta. Is the highs is MVP level caliber player, and the lows and the unmotivated side of things is he's gonna be, you know, a used car, and it's just like, you know, don't even want to kick the tires. Mm-hmm. Just want to just say, hey, you got cash in hand. Let's go. Let's see it. I mean, that's essentially what happens.
He still to have a little warranty on there, right? A couple miles warranty. Think he's still,
still got it. he does. This situation here, and I'm going to get into my next prediction, my next crystal soccer ball. I've told you, I do not. It would not shock me if Peter Musa, after this season, is just like, guys, I want out, because the team has not done like they need to. I mean, when you bring this guy in for big money and you say, hey, you're going to be our centerpiece and we're going to bring some guys around you, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and it's looking like they're going to finish for the second year lower in the Western Conference and not going anywhere, not making the playoffs, and he's going to start looking around and saying, where's the improvement? I mean, Lucho was supposed to be that improvement. And I think that's one of the reasons they brought him in, is to help to pair along Peter Musa. But now that Lucho's gone, who do you have? I mean, you cannot in this league, in the MLS right now, you cannot go anywhere with just simply one guy. I mean, it just it's the league has really improved. We talked about it a couple episodes, 3 or 4 episodes ago. I said the league is turning into a duos type of league. You got to have a good running pair of good, you know, scoring, maybe even 3 at this point in time, because the offenses are really starting to stack. That you need, you can't just have this one guy going out and getting 20, 25 goals and expecting to, you know, him to carry you. You need a team, an effort.
Facts. I could agree. I see that in the crystal soccer ball over here also. I could definitely see him move someone move on and get out of there. Unfortunately for the Dallas super fans, But hey, guys, this is what it is. It's the business of the MLS. And again, as I stated earlier, you know, sometimes the front office and such, they have to take some responsibility for the players either wanting to be there or not. But thanks for sharing that. I didn't realize that Lucho wanted to pretty much go back home. And I can understand that, you know, but it's a way that you do it. You don't have to be unprofessional. And, you know, with all that, all the shenanigans, you don't have to do that. Just be a man and go talk to the front office or, you know, management, ownership, whatever, and sit down and let them know, hey, you know, I'm not happy here and I like to, you know, play closer to home.
Right. I agree with you. There's ways of going about it. And speaking of ways of going about it, and you kind of hinted at maybe some tampering, there is the last one on our transfer list, and it is this one is extremely juicy. So, Santi Moreno of the Portland Timbers is also being targeted by Fluminense, and they said, okay, you know, we offer, I think it was $4 million to join, and the Timbers said, no, that's way too low, we're not interested. Well, Santi Moreno gets word of this and packs his bags, literally. Goes to the GM's office with bags in hand and says, I'm not playing for your team. I'm going home. Get this deal done with Fluminense, and that's it. I'm not coming back. He missed one of their games and is basically forcing his way and forcing the team to, you know, make this transfer move to Fluminense. And at last I heard the offer went up from $4 million to $6.5 million, and I think that the Timbers are going to take that kind of begrudgingly, but I mean, come on, right. this is just, you hate to see when stuff like this happens, because this is tampering to a T.
Yes, it is tampering. I don't like this, Maddie. I don't like this. You know, I am, if I sign a contract, I'm going to honor the contract. I'm going to hold up my end of the bargain as long as the team, the organization holds up theirs, right? When you see stuff like this happens, and we already know it's tampering, we know what's going on, right? You know, a blind man can see what's actually going on. This is actually tampering, guys. Make no mistakes about it. And the fact that he went there and wanted to force himself out of there, I wouldn't be so quick to just get rid of him. I would have been like, oh, really? Well, you got to honor your contract. I'm sit down. You know what I'm saying? Who's to say he goes down to Fluminense, he goes down there and does the same thing down there after a year or two? You know what I mean? When does it stop? Yeah, you're man. Right. I'm a big proponent. Yeah, bro, honor your contract. And then at the end of the season, if there's some, you know, situation, whatever, then you go in there and say, hey, look, I'm not happy here, whatever. But all of this in the middle of the season, man, this is whack, man. I don't like it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. And shame on the Fluminense for whatever if they had, you know, maybe they had some people, I don't know, representatives maybe telling him this, because maybe the player did this on his own and it's not, but it seems like they're kind of, you know, giving him a playbook and saying, hey, if you do this and you do that, then you kind of force their hand. And if you really want to join us, then this is the way to do it. And it just, yeah, because you don't want to be, if you do this to teams, it's almost similar to like a karma situation. If you do this to teams, some teams are going to do it to you.
Come back and bite you in the butt. Right. I agree. Yes, definitely.
Yep. Well, that rounds out our transfer news for the MLS. We have some NWSL news to report. We got some very good news. The NWSL is expanding.
MLS, take notes. Take notes. And this is no disrespect. Take notes, because the NWSL, they're getting it right, bro. Those ladies over there, that, you know, just that league is just, man, I'm very impressed, Maddie. The business acumen, the competitiveness, the games and such. Before we got on today, you were watching the match earlier and you were talking, they were pretty intense. I'm very, man, ladies, we're going to be following a lot of your games. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing. They're expanding, Maddie. It's going to be 16 teams, correct?
Yeah, 16 teams. And we're talking about one of the teams is the Denver Summit FC. And they're going to have a familiar face to the MLS as their head coach. Nick Cushing, formerly of the NYCFC, is going to be their inaugural head coach for that team. So that was some bit of positive news. I mean, he's been around the women's game and the men's game. He come from Manchester City's women's team to the MLS and went back to the Manchester City after he resigned from MLS. And now he's back doing the women's sport here in the U.S. So, like I said, he's ping-ponging back and forth between England and United States and the men's and the women's, and he's getting it done all around. But, yeah, that should be that's going to be a good hire for them, I think.
Yeah, Matty, definitely agree. I think he's going to be an excellent addition. This guy's resume is great, right? This guy, like you said, you just name it off the places he's coached and even the great job he did with NYCFC, right? He had those guys. Man, he's very impressive. To be honest, I was shocked that he left the MLS to go over to the NWSL, but now that you mention his background also coaching, he coached Manchester City women's team, and he did a great job there. So, yeah, he's going to be a great hire, and I can't wait. They're going to be playing next year. Let me just quickly shout out, because I heard that one of our favorite legendary quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, is one of the, I guess, part owners of the Denver Summit. So he's getting involved there. Definitely somebody who knows about championship culture. And, yeah, it's definitely going to be good to see him a part of that. The other team is in Boston, Matty. I think it's the Boston Legacy. They're going to be playing next year also. So you got two teams coming.
And that,
to the
end and of the that logo is dope. And you sent me that,
like
that
logo.
I love the Swan logo. Yeah,
you love that
I
logo?
Gotta give credit to the NWSL between the names of their teams and the logos are top tier. The MLS does need to take note on some of those because I don't know.
Look at that again.
What's up with the? I don't know what's up with the blandness of some of these the crests and the logos, whatever you want to call them. Right, like the NWSL, like they get it down. Look, especially the San Diego Wave. That right there, that crest and that logo, they did an excellent job on that right there. And some of the other ones, like I said, it just they got it going on. So, but yeah, the Boston Legacy, I love that. That looks great.
Oh, that is wow! It's like a swan with the green. That's sick, man.
Yeah,
that's sick right there, man. Speaking of logos, yes, sir. I gotta shout you out, bro.
That's really on, good.
I gotta shout you out, bro. Speaking of logos, I see you got. You kind of doing your thing over there on X right now, right? Formerly Twitter. I see you with the Savage over there. I like your logo over there, bro. I see you making a little noise
over
there.
Yeah, I think
space.
It was time for a different profile pic, and I decided to change it up and go with something. So yeah, I personalized it. And I got the 5-star Savage on there, and yeah, I appreciate the love, my good sir. Come check me out on X, guys. I mean, that's where I'm at most of the time. And, yeah. So let's continue with our NWSL news. It was rivalry weekend. And like you said, I was catching the games. And although you look at some of the score lines, you would have been like, oh, man, these games weren't that competitive because there was a lot of ties. But I would say on the flip side of that, they were very competitive because they were ties, because some of them were, you know, back and forth. I mean, the game last night that I was watching, it was the Orlando Pride and Racing Louisville. That game was crazy.
Okay.
There was a couple of, it was down in Orlando. Orlando was hosting, and Racing Louisville's goalkeeper, she blocked the PK, which I was like, okay, you know, that's hard to do in and of itself, right? And then shortly thereafter, Orlando was attacking, and I mean, it was right there on top of her. I mean, a full force kick, and she still blocked it. And so that one was great. I watched the first half, but I went to sleep because I'm an old man and I can't stay up past maybe 10:30, 11, even on the weekends. But it ended up being 1-1 Orlando and Racing Louisville. Louisville had a 1-0 lead before I went to bed. So, but that one was good. Mm-hmm. And the first game of yesterday was the Gotham FC, which again, they have the coolest names. I love their names. Gotham FC, which is New York, New Jersey. They played the Washington Spirit, and that was a 0-0 draw, but it was tightly contested. I caught a little bit of that one early in the day because I think that started at 12. And you're probably wondering, if you're listening, you're like, man, Matt, you watch MLS, you watch NWSL. I mean, you probably pay for all of this stuff, and what you pay for soccer is probably like a crazy bill. However... Mm-hmm. Like Mr. Corso said, not so fast, my friend. The benefits of the NWSL is they have a bunch of different ways to watch, and you don't have to pay. That's why I'm giving them their shine right now, because I watched them on ION, and earlier I watched them on CBS. So we have talked extensively on linear, on traditional platforms, and everything else, and guess what? I have those, and I was able to watch, and they were excellent, and I'm going to give them their shine.
Yes, that's why I started out giving their kudos, Maddie, and saying, MLS, knock, knock, are you listening? Because these ladies over here, this league, is pretty much setting the standard on how you should run a league, how you should grow a league, how you should feed your super fans. ION, CBS, dude, we should have free game. It should be a free... Prime, yeah, it should be free matches for all of the super fans. We shouldn't have to, you know, shout out to Apple. We know the deal and all of that, but it should be free games available so that we can grow the game so that everyone can watch these games and become fans of soccer, period, right? And again, super fans, we are universal. We're worldwide. We're NWSL, MLS, USL, whoever's rocking. You know, college, whatever. We're here for it. You know, international, we're here for it. So, you know, that's why we're super fans. But anyway, go ahead, man.
Right. Good point, Mike. And I just think that the blueprint that they have is better than MLS's. Like I said, the Apple deal, it is what it is. It's good, it's bad, it's sideways. Okay, cool. But I think that the NWSL's blueprint of you have CBS, which is regular TV, ION is kind of like a mix. They have where I'm at, it's on. I can get it online on the Roku store, which I mean, almost everybody seemingly has a Roku these days, so you can watch it that way. Yeah. You've got Prime Video, which a lot of people have Prime. Not everybody, but a lot of people have Prime, so you can watch some of those games. And then they also have the games on Paramount Plus. So they have. They don't have their eggs all in one basket. They got their eggs spread out across a bunch of different baskets. And it's like, if you want to pay, you can pay. If you don't want to, that's fine. You can still catch these games. And it's like, okay, put some of the high marquee matches, put some of those on the paywalls if you want to. But you're still trying to grow the game. You're still trying to grow your league. So put those out there so everybody can see it. And it's excellent. This reminds me of the MLS years ago and how I was watching, you know, when I very first got to watch MLS and professional soccer.
Right. And, yeah, man, they got to, like you said, growing the game and, you know, you want the youth, especially you got the young girls looking up to these NWSL players out here and they're getting inspired and motivated and want to play soccer. They want to participate. They want to become a pro soccer player, and I could see these girls definitely getting paid their weight, right? They're gonna get paid. I could see this league paying their players very well, Maddie. And yeah, man.
Yeah, and that goes to the sponsor bit that I mentioned before. I mean, I was very impressed because I mean, well known sponsors. I'm talking about Verizon, Allstate. What's another, like, I mean, it's not these obscure ones. I mean, these are national brands that just like you recognize, you know them. Ally Bank, like, I mean, these ones, when you put them out there, you put them out there, and you're just like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, I know them. Yeah, of course. Like, So they're getting good sponsors that I can tell you right now, those sponsors aren't paying peanuts. They're paying good money.
They are, and deservedly so, because like I said, I watched the MLS and, you know, we watch all the different leagues. But when I look at the NWSL, the one thing I love about it is the competitiveness, right, with those women over there, right? They're playing with a lot of heart. They're playing with a lot of fierceness. You know, they look, you don't see these women out here flopping. Some of these guys, I don't want to call you out, some of you guys, but you know who you are flopping and such out here sometimes on the field. And these women are bouncing right back up, and they're right back at it. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate that. And, you know, it's, like I said, very inspiring, and it's just a great game, as you can see. That's why they're growing like this, Maddie. And MLS, take note. You know, we have a great product here, but the women are, man, they're doing excellent. And so proud of them, and definitely we're going to support. And you're right, Maddie. I looked at that Boston Legacy logo. Sick, man. It's just sick. I mean, I ain't a Boston guy, but they're just sick. Looking at it, this is, man.
Yeah. These things are turning around. It's very good to see, and very positive, and I love to see it. But there's some things that's been going on in NWSL that we don't like to see. And really, it's not even the team. It's just one individual. The North Carolina Courage, which is one of their teams, fired their coach this week by the name of Sean Nahas. And I sent this to you because immediately red flags went off. Immediately. Come across my Twitter feed or my X feed, however you want to say it. I'm always going to call it Twitter because that's just what I'm used to. And it said that they fired their coach, which that's not surprising. That's just, you know, things happen. They fire coaches all the time. We talked about the coaching carousel. But instead of a normal public piece of we thank him for his time, wish him well, they put out a statement that I told you, I said it felt like they were, it was too much breadcrumbs there. They said things like, we want to maintain a professional workplace, and he's fired with immediate effect, and all this stuff. And it got me to thinking, like, what's going on here? What are they really trying to say? And looked in the comments, and one of the comments was from a year ago, Mike, 2024, August of, well, let me see here, August 13th of 2024, we had an individual say that something was going to be coming out about the coach, Sean Nahas, and that was a year ago, and here we are. Let me read the thing. It says, have it on pretty good authority that there's some Ashley Hatch news coming. Also caught wind that Nahas is hiding something pretty nasty, but I don't think anyone's going to touch that anytime soon. We'll see in time. Wish I could say more, but I can't let things trace back to my source. And that right there was very damning, and the fact that he got let go the way he did and the way that they said it. And, man, it's just a... it is a mess.
We're going to get into it because this is this has many layers, guys. This is that, you know, onion right here. The more we peel back, the more it brings tears to your eyes, because this is like an onion right here, a rotten onion. This guy, it's disappointing. It's discouraging. That occurs is discouraging, Maddie. Go ahead. I'm going to go. I don't want to take it there just yet. Go ahead, Maddie.
I just don't understand why they had a press conference, right? And guy that I follow, he's ESPN's NWSL main, you know, writer or whatever. He was there. They didn't have it on, like, no, there's no video of it or telecast or anything like that, but he was reporting on it, and he said that multiple times, and you read the article too, so you can you know that I'm not just making this up, said multiple times the sporting director said there was a myriad of different reasons for why they did this. It wasn't just, you know, on the field, but it was also off the field. Like, there was a lot of reasons. They said that so many different times. It's like, well, what are those reasons? It's like, we need to fill in the blanks here. You know, you can't just say, oh, there's a lot of reasons we're not doing well. And okay, well, tell us, what are the reasons? That's what you're here for. Tell us the information that we don't have.
Right. And the individual you're talking about is Dr. Seri Bowley. I guess, like you said, I don't know, man. I guess he had been speaking to, Nahas about what was going on. Of course, the team was not playing well. So we always know that, you know, winning is the best deodorant, guys. Let's just be real about this because of, I hate to say it, but if this team was really, if they were winning and doing really well, I don't know if this would have came out right now, Maddie. I'm not sure if he would have got fired right now. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room, Maddie. And the irony. So he was the coach for, what, approximately 4 years, right? And when he came in, right? When he came in, the irony is he replaced another coach that was there that allegedly was doing some inappropriate behavior with the players, correct?
Yes. Yep. Paul Riley said that he took over as interim coach in 2021 after Paul Riley was fired following the sexual misconduct against him. So it looks like that you got one bad actor is seemingly being replaced by another. So it seems.
Right. So it seems. This is all allegedly, guys. But it's almost like what they say, the kettle calling the pot black or whatever they say. This feels like that type situation, Maddie. And unfortunately, in a lot of sports, not just women's, but also men's, you get these coaches in these positions. Guys, super fans, this article is on ESPN.com. So if you want to read into it and get all the details and such, you can. But we've seen this before, man. These coaches are in these positions. The players look up to them. They have to be obedient to their coaches, so to speak. And, you know, they take advantage of it. And unfortunately, I just got a funky, you said it earlier, Maddie, we were talking, a funky feeling that he might have been caught up in some type of, you know, sexual situations himself. Allegedly, guys. Allegedly, I'm just saying here, right? Because the fact that Dr. Bowley kept saying, you know,
myriad of reasons,
But hold on, Maddie, I'm looking here. I'm going to call a cap on him right now because he said this has been a very recent thing. No, it's not. This was mentioned last year. Matt, Superfans, right. Maddie just read this out to you guys. This has been going on, guys. See what I mean? So this is more about wins and losses than actually caring about the players' welfare, in my opinion. You know, I just got to cut through the chase. So, but Maddie, what say you on that, man?
Mike, I'm gonna use one of your terms that you said earlier on in previous episodes. Winning is the best deodorant. That's what you said, right? And I agree with you wholeheartedly that if they had been winning, if they wouldn't have been sitting at ninth in the table, if they had been sitting at two or three or even leading. Yeah, this is swept under the rug. Nobody's mentioning it. It's no big deal. We're going to keep doing what we got to do to win. And that's unfortunate. And I think that there's no myriad of reasons. It's we're not doing okay, so we can excuse or have that as like a pivot, as like a deception of this is why we're really letting him go. But, yeah, and I think that That's really what it is. They're trying to say, look over here. Don't look in this corner. Look over here. And because they're seeming to have this bad reputation of letting this stuff happen.
Right on. And I'm curious because we know a lot of times when coaches get fired, the organization, as long as they don't quit or, you know, whatever they get terminated, the organization, they still have to pay off their contract. I'm curious if this guy's still going to get, because I don't know the myriad of reasons, right? Air quotes. Will he still be obligated to pay him off the rest of his contract? I wonder. Have to look that up. But
yeah, North Carolina Courage fans, you know, the lights at the end of the tunnel. you know, these things, when they come to light, it's for a reason and it's for the best. And no individual should have to deal with these circumstances, whether you're a professional soccer player or you're just the average Joe Blow individual working, you know, your manager, supervisor, whoever is, you know, above you, tries to get you to do something shady. I mean, this is, it's unacceptable no matter what it is. It's unacceptable.
100%, bro. Agree.
Yep. That wraps it up for me, Mike. That's all I got.
Hey, very appropriate red card. Other than that, well, we got some stuff lined up for next week, guys. More Leagues Cup action. Hopefully, it'll be a great finals, right?
Yep, they got the quarter. They got the four teams for the Mexican League and the MLS set aside, and they'll be playing each other. So it's getting down to the nitty gritty. We're getting past the fluff of it and getting to the real the knockout rounds. So it's going to be getting more intense, more lively. So that's going to be interesting to watch. But that's going to wrap us up for this episode, Mike.
All right, guys. Until next time, have fun, be safe, and have a super fantastic week. Peace.
All right, you knuckleheads. We'll catch you next time.
Joining us and showing your support. Become a part of our community by subscribing to our SoccerCast. Hit us up and send your comments to info@superfansusa.com. Peace.